Well, this morning I'm going to keep going in looking at the various resurrection appearances of Jesus. And of course, we have this one. We looked at it in the gospel last week as well as this week. But you remember last week we looked at Paul, when Jesus appeared to Paul and Paul was converted. Today, this is a resurrection appearance to Peter and some of the 11 who are at Peter's house hanging around because they had nothing else to do. They didn't know what to do. And this morning, as I was praying on my own, going through morning prayer, this prayer from the prayer book was something that I used. Didn't plan to use it this morning, but here it is. This is a prayer for all members of the church and their vocation and ministry. That would include you as well as me. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers, which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry, they may truly and devoutly serve you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that struck me in this way. For that prayer to be answered, for you as well as me and any Christian at all, there is a process of death, burial, and resurrection that you will go through in your life. I hope you find that encouraging. Not yet. Okay, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. In fact, that is the cycle, you might say, of the Christian life. Death, burial, and resurrection. And oftentimes when we're seeking after God and asking Him, what can we do? How can I serve you? Whatever it is, how can I fit in? We're thinking right immediately of resurrection. And that death and burial, we don't want to go through any of that. I don't. I would choose a whole different path myself. But that's the one that God has us on. Reason being that to follow Jesus means that you actually follow Him through the pattern of His life, which included at the center of it, as you know, death, burial, and resurrection. And that can happen anytime God wants to call you into something, open up a new thing for you, have you step higher, whatever it is, that step into the next phase that God has for you, the next thing God has for you, will go through that process of death, burial, and resurrection. And in fact, there's a few more things going on with that. You will not only go through death, burial, resurrection, and then you will go from there into restoration and calling. Particularly if you're in a place where you are stuck. We're stuck. Now what do we do? How do we go from here? We're repeating everything all the time. It's not going the way that we'd hoped or planned or thought. And that's being stuck. And when you're stuck, you get to the point of seeing Jesus in His resurrection, encountering the resurrected Christ in one way. And from there, you are restored and then called. Now, we prayed that also together just a few minutes ago when we prayed the collect for today. O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear His voice, we may know Him who calls us each by name and follow where He leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns. I mean, as you know and have heard, following where He leads is not easy. It's just not easy. We'd like it to be easy. The culture tells us it should be easy. A lot of people say it should be easy. Oftentimes people come to the faith with the idea, now my life is going to be so much better. I'm going to make more money. I'm going to have a nicer place. Things are going to go easy. I'm going to have great friends. All everything. I'm going to lose weight. Whatever it is. Not the case. Okay, is everybody all right? That was not convincing, but I'm going to go on anyway. Larry said, yeah, right. So now this. This has occurred with me just time and again, this cycle, time and time again. And one of the things that came to my mind as I was thinking about this is we were finishing up the ministry. We didn't know it, but we were finishing up the ministry at St. Mary's in Warwick, in Pennsylvania. And one Sunday, the Old Testament reading was the story of the calling of Abraham. And God says to Abraham, get up, leave this place, leave your home, and go to the place which I will show you after you get started. Didn't say how long he'd have to wander before he was shown, but Abraham said, okay, up he goes. That is a death and a burial. The death is leaving the place. The burial is going out onto the road, you know, committing completely to it. Then the resurrection comes, which, as you remember the story of Abraham, fairly long process to get to that resurrection, where finally he says that you will be the father of many nations. And we are the children of Abraham today, being children of the resurrection, children of faith that comes from that point. So I'm listening to the story of the calling of Abraham. Hits me right between the eyes. But, you know, since I was the priest and everything, well, I guess I still am, but I was the priest then too. I didn't show anything. You can get good at that. And there I was. So I was going along. And the next day, I was in another meeting, and there it was again, just right at me. It was there. I was carrying it around. And I felt there's something about this that's going on. I don't know what it is, but something about this is going on. I'm feeling that God's going to ask me to go to some place I do not know. And the next Sunday, I felt the responsibility of that church just lift off of my shoulders. I don't know how else to describe it. There was just a sense of it being lifted. You know, I'd been there 24 years and all that. I wanted to stay there the rest of my working days. I had all kinds of plans and things to do, but the responsibility lifted. And that story of Abraham came back. I am calling you to a place, and you go ahead. You just don't know where it is yet. So I go home, and I tell Carol, you know, we've got to get out of here as fast as we can. So we did. I called the bishop the next day. Bishop, I'd like to come see you. To which he says, hey, John, I don't have any money to give you. Fine, that's fine. I don't want any money. I want to talk to you about moving on. Okay, come on down. Got there that night. Come on. I think it was the next night, Tuesday night. And I said, well, you know, I think it's time for me to resign and move on. I don't have any place to go. But I think I should do that. You know, I had the wardens with me and other people. And he said, okay, just like that, fine. So off we went, and we were 5 months of looking around and no idea where we were going. The next thing you know, we're in Phoenix, and the next thing you know, we're here. Just like that. Don't know where you're going. Now, in between, what happened to me is this. I had two invitations. After about 5 months, I had two invitations. And one was to a church in this diocese, and one was to plant churches in Phoenix. And I mean, it's not because I'm... That was just coincidental. There was nothing special about that, except God was moving. So we're praying about it. We're taking a whole week just thinking back and forth. What are we going to do? And this thought came through my mind, which I knew it was God. I've shown you how to renew the church. Now I will show you how to raise the dead. Okay. And in Galatians, where it's talking about the children of Abraham being children of faith, the verse goes on and says, for I am the God who calls things as not as if they were. The dead come to life. I said, well, okay. Guess we'll go to Phoenix and see how that happens. I mean, you know, I had no idea, absolutely no idea. And I don't know that I could explain it very well now either. However, we go ahead and we start learning about new churches and American culture in the Southwest, of course, and all that. And there were things I began to see I had never seen before, never thought of before, never even wondered about before. Things about the church that I had never occurred to me, ever. And as I began to see that, I began to see a new calling. And that new calling plays out here, now, here at St. Francis. There's something about what God has asked me to do that has gone through that death, burial, resurrection, restoration. I will show you how to raise the dead. That was a restorative thing for me into calling. And I had to go through that process. I had to go through those steps. And you will too. Aren't you glad you came today so you could find out how to do that? That's what will happen. That's what we see with Peter. And here's Peter. He's got the guys over at his house, and they're standing around, sitting around, not knowing what to do. Jesus is gone. They've seen him twice already since he was raised from the dead, but it's been a little while. Jesus has been appearing to other people. We're going to get into that over the next few weeks. But for these remainder of the apostles, they hadn't seen him for a little bit. So they don't know what to do. So they go back to what they know. Peter says, I'm going fishing. You guys can do whatever you want. I'm going fishing. So they said, well, hey, we don't know what to do either, so we're coming with you. Oh, they're out in the boat. There they go. And they start working. And the same thing that happened the first time they saw Jesus happened again. These professional fishermen who make their living by fishing caught nothing all night, caught nothing. And then Jesus steps in. And there's Jesus on the beach, being his usual self. Now, I hope it's okay to say this, but I just want to point it out. There are occasions when Jesus is particularly annoying. And he says to these professional fishermen who've caught nothing all night, catch anything? Oh, my. You know, and they hadn't recognized him yet. He knew that. But there he goes, hey. And then John recognizes him, and he says, it is the Lord. And then Peter recognizes him. And Peter, being the kind of personality he is, jumps out, you know, goes. It wasn't that deep. They were about 100 yards out. You know, gets to the shore, pulls in the net, all these things going on with Peter. And Jesus has them all come together. Here, I made you some breakfast. Here you go. Really something these past days, huh? This is really incredible. Things are just chatting. And the whole group is beginning to feel restored, beginning to see that the life that Jesus is walking in and releasing is coming to them. And then he takes Peter aside. And this is where Peter is restored. Peter has gone through that his own death, his own burial. You know, he figures it's all gone. What we spent 3 years doing, it's never coming back. Best I can do is go fishing. And then he's gone through that. And now he sees Jesus. He's thinking, well, maybe it's the resurrection. And Jesus takes him aside to restore him. And the restoration was very pointed, very specific. It caused Peter pain. I mean, he was grieved to go through this. And sometimes you will be too. He says to Peter three times, do you love me? They remember Peter denied Jesus three times. And so he asked him three times. And in each time, he said, do you love me? He gave him his calling, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And This is what happened. When Peter denied Jesus those three times, the Spirit of God was squeezing his character out of him. When you're moving into that point of your relationship with Jesus, where it is challenging, where you're tempted, where you'd rather not, where it is painful, the Spirit of God is squeezing your character out of you, exposing it, showing it. And it is that which has been exposed, which has come out when you're under great pressure. But on the other side of your death, burial, and resurrection, when Jesus is restoring you, it is those elements of your character that he will restore. Now, it'll be different for each of us, but it'll be the way that it goes. Now, if you're like me, you have some remnants, maybe some pretty big ones, of looking for a church that makes you feel comfortable, that you like, that you're going to fit in, that you're going to be able to make a contribution to, where you like the style, the preacher, the building, the whatever it is, that you're looking for things that you like. That is, whatever that is within you, will be part of that which is squeezed out of you. That is, those are character decisions, and Jesus will squeeze it out of you so that it can be restored into your calling. Everybody okay? If you're okay, I might not be making the point well enough. it's just the way that it is. What Jesus wants to do is to get past our preferences, past us being in charge, past us saying what he's supposed to do, get us past that, died to that, raised to new life, and then restored into who we really are, restored into who we were created to be, and then into the calling that's on our lives. There is one dynamic that helps us do that. Only one. Do you love me? It is only the love for Jesus that gets us through that. The requirement for ministry is not seminary, it's not ordination, none of that. The requirement for ministry is to love Jesus. Do you love me? Go ahead. That's what will get you through any trial, any question, any time God is squeezing the character out of you to restore it. All of that will come from the love of Jesus. It'll get you through. That is why, in this case, Jesus, in his resurrected form, appeared to the apostles, so that they could have their calling, their character restored, and their calling renewed. And that will happen over and over and over again. What will come of that is that you and I will bear much fruit. We will bear much fruit. That's our goal. To abide in Jesus and follow him however he has gone to the point where we are bearing much fruit. It's the purpose of the church, to bear much fruit. So it glorifies God to bear much fruit. There's something specific to which God has called you. And what will happen when you get to that calling and you're walking in it, that you'll be bearing much fruit. And each of us will do it a little differently than the other. But it will be that fruit that God desires that is born throughout the world. Your love for Jesus, the love that He gives you for Him, we love God because He first loved us, will bring you along that path in which you hear His voice, as we prayed today, that we'd be able to hear His voice and so follow Him. Catch what He's telling us and do what He asks us to do. That is always the path of the Christian life. It will always bring us into that cycle of death, burial, and resurrection. It will always bring us to the point of having our calling restored by Jesus. And it will always bring us to the point of bearing fruit. And it will always be asking you to go to a place that you don't know. You hear the voice of the Lord saying, well, I want you to get up and go to this place that I'm going to tell you about later. Just be on the way. There are many, many implications of that. We won't list them all this morning. One of them is this. It cultivates community. When you recognize in somebody else the death, burial, resurrection, restoration, and calling that they have gone through, there is a bond. There is a connection that is unlike any other connection. It cultivates community. It gives you the motivation to cultivate a community around the table of the Lord. That is very different from building an organization. But it all circles back to what is He telling you? What is the Good Shepherd telling you? And what would He have you do about it? Well, that's what I have to share with you today. It's a little more personal, I think, for me. It's hopefully personal for you, too. Because that's how it goes, personally. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thank You, we praise You, we give You all glory. For You have called us by name. You lead us through the path that You have gone. And You restore us into the calling You have for us. And we ask that You would do that among us all our days for the glory of Your name. Amen.